It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of March, 2022, for professional investors only, never ever investment advice. We saw the biggest move in gilt yesterday in over a decade. So after the Brexit referendum and after Bank of England announced more QE, we saw a big rally in the gilt market. Yesterday's was bigger than that. We saw 30 basis point fall in the 10-year gilt yield. Similar moves in Europe as a whole, really, with the Bund market 21 basis points better in yield and BTPs 30 basis points down in yield as well. And at the short end, which is really where most of the action took place, two full ECB rate hikes have been removed from the market this year. So there's no rate hike expected in 2022 anymore from the ECB. And similar moves, not quite as dramatic in the US, where the 10-year bond yield got down to 1.72. They've taken out one and a bit rate hikes from the Fed. So from over six hikes this year to about 4.75 25 basis point rate hikes this year. Big moves in break-even inflation rates as well, down in part, I guess, or largely down to the oil price shock. So oil went above $110 a barrel. Break-evens then, US 3.3 for 5 years, Germany 2.55, UK RPI break-even at 4.67%. And this rally in government bonds is really about falls in real yield then. It's not about falls in inflation expectations. Real yields on 30-year tips fell from 0.2% a few days ago to minus 0.2% now. So that's what's going on there. Still, you know, we talked about the taking out of central bank rate hikes, and that's a bit of the story at the moment. Has the central bank put come back into market thinking that, you know, this is a condition that is going to lead to weaker growth despite potentially higher levels of inflation? So stagflation is kind of the consensus now to some extent, but does it lead to central banks not being able to hike in the way that they perhaps would have done, well, certainly would have done, in the absence of geopolitical risk and some stretching going on in funding markets? And it's worth mentioning that so liquidity has started to deteriorate. I mean, on the good side of things, it doesn't look like the market's experiencing big outflows from ETFs, mutual funds, those kind of things aren't moving dramatically at the moment. So that's all good news. But there is some squeeze really around collateral, and one measure of that is looking at the cross-currency basis for borrowing costs in dollars relative to euros and Japanese yen, etc. And at times of financial market stress, you often see dollar funding costs start to disproportionately move. People rush to dollars, they want dollars. And in this example, we are starting to see that happen. So you can measure this by looking at the difference in interest rates for borrowing in dollars relative to euros and Japanese yen, relative to kind of where they should theoretically trade given the interest rate differentials between those different currency blocks. So, you know, in an ideal world, theoretically everything would trade with zero basis. You know, the market would reflect exactly domestic interest rate differentials. During COVID though, and even more so during the global financial crisis, you see this basis move to a level that reflects excess demand for US dollars. So during COVID, euro dollar basis was at minus 150 basis points. So US dollar borrowing costs were 150 basis points more than they theoretically should be effectively. At the start of the year, there wasn't a basis, so things were trading flat. Now it's about 50 basis points negative. So there is some stress starting to emerge. There's certainly liquidity pressures in the US Treasury market as well. But nothing dramatic yet, but watch this space really. And talking about other areas of contagion, it's not really happening dramatically yet. And surprisingly, again, it's not really happening in emerging markets, which suggests there aren't big outflows in the emerging market complex. And perhaps not surprisingly, we have seen some funds suspend dealing who specialised in Russian equities. And, you know, that's just inevitable given that Russian equity market is effectively closed at the moment. But Russia's a small country economically, and as part of even emerging market indices, we're talking 5-7%. So it's not huge. And so the contagion, the outflows haven't really taken place across the market yet. And so we've seen some of the emerging market blocks actually tighten in emerging market debt rather than sell off at the moment, which is a little bit surprising. But signs of stress elsewhere, I guess European bank stocks are down over a quarter now from their peaks. I guess some exposure to Russian banking sectors, especially in places like Austria, for instance, we've seen that. And more generally, we are seeing the investment banks come out now and put a raft of downgrades down in global growth. So I saw one this morning that particularly looked at Russia, GDP growth annualised maybe, 25% down, and long term, its potential growth rate almost halving down towards 1%. So that's something to look out for as well. Finally, credit, just to mention that. Credit is wider, but again, not dramatically so. We're not making new wides in credit after that blip out crossover the measure of European high yield CDS index. It's out at 380, which is pretty much the widest it's been in this cycle. 35 basis points wider yesterday. So there is a little bit of movement there, but not dramatically so. And actually, cash high yield bonds seem to be really well demanded at the moment. We're not really seeing panic and fear in the high yield market, which again is a little bit surprising. I guess the one area of markets where we are seeing a bit of risk aversion is on the euro itself. So if you went back to September, the euro was at 1.19 to the US dollar, and it is now at below 111. So we've seen about 7% sell-off in the euro relative to the US dollar since September, and it's making new lows in this particular cycle again today. It's down about 28 basis points. So that's something to keep an eye on. And the Japanese yen has been relatively a good performer at the moment. That's all for today. Just checking my notes so I didn't miss anything. There's a lot going on. I would say, I'm going to finish really by pointing out you should follow Adam Tooze on Twitter if you don't already. He's a polymath, really. He writes about everything in a fantastically understandable, insightful way. And he's talking a little bit about the Russian military on Twitter at the moment. And there is a kind of meme at the moment, isn't there, that Russia has been clumsy and incompetent, that there's been a bit of a shock that Russia hasn't made bigger progress. I think there is a bit of a pushback on that, that people who think that Russia haven't advanced quickly don't really understand how maps work and how scales are pretty big in this region. I think some people are saying this is an extraordinarily rapid invasion by Russia, but certainly that there is an idea that Russia has not made the progress that it wanted to. It's got stretched supply lines. For me, a strange lack of air superiority. I'd have expected complete air superiority from Russia, but it doesn't seem to be the case. So, but read all about these issues on Adam Tooze and other Twitter feeds that he links to. Again, talking a bit about just how strong the Ukrainian military is and how its support has had over the years. But I think for me, the big takeaway from this is that while we kind of in the West almost rejoice in the difficulties that Russia are facing in its invasion of Ukraine, this increases the danger rather than reduce it. And I think maybe that's a bit of what yesterday's bond market move was about. If you're Vladimir Putin and you're Mr. Strongman and you suddenly look slightly or largely humiliated by the slowness of your military response, what do? You ramp up the aggression, you become even less discriminating around your use of violence. And Adam Tooze points out that actually the danger here is that Russia traditionally is an army of artillery, and that what it's been doing so far is not its natural comfort zone. Its natural comfort zone is to just pile up huge barrages of artillery and bombard things, and it hasn't done that to a large extent. We know it has done it to some extent, but as Putin is humiliated, you know, as the kind of popular idea goes, then the risks to human life and an escalation become greater. And I think that's a genuine fear. Right, see you later.